This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by a suite of professional-grade products from Protocol for Life Balance, which helps support optimal cardiovascular health. Ubiquinol, natokinase, and MK7K2. They play a central role in cellular energy production and maintaining proper blood flow and arterial elasticity, but they're only available from healthcare practitioners. But they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance for more information and to order.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Intelligent Medicine is about the best of high-tech medicine, the best of natural therapies, putting those all together for you each weekend here on Intelligent Medicine. You can call us 877-726-8255 if you're confused by what's happening with the coronavirus pandemic. Call us 877-726-8255. We'll try to set you straight as best as possible. That number, by the way, is available throughout the week, 24/7. Calling 877-726-8255 gives you an opportunity to record a question. We'll take some of those recorded questions along with live calls today. And we got a lot to talk about today, but unfortunately, we still got to talk about COVID-19. And I long for the day when coronavirus will be in the rearview mirror, and we won't have to talk about it, and we can get back to themes about general health and dealing with such issues as heart disease and diabetes and cancer and all the scourges of mankind. But we're in a period of real uncertainty about the way things are going with coronavirus. And so I picked up the paper this morning. And the headline in the Wall Street Journal is Surge Shifts to Younger Victims. There's stories of retrenchment on the openings that were so highly anticipated for the summer. Lots of people coming out of sequestration, and they're stir crazy. They're anxious to get outside. But unfortunately, in many states, they're going to have to roll it back. Delayed opening of Disney in Florida has been put on hold once again. And it's kind of like a tale of two countries, because where I broadcast from here in New York, things are getting better. And more people are out and about. People are starting to go into restaurants. In Connecticut, they announced the opening of schools this fall. But in other parts of the country, it's not looking so good. It's kind of paradoxical. A Houston doctor said, quote, "We are going to start looking like New York City." So what's up with that? You know, it's a lot of uncertainty about where this is going. I mean, at least we knew there was a time course. You know, it's kind of like a jail sentence. You know, you're sentenced to 5 years, and you know that there's a terminus. But with this coronavirus pandemic, it's unclear when and how it's going to end. Last week, I reported to you on this story, headline, "People would be crushed by second coronavirus wave," psychologists say. Well, unfortunately, it's come to pass. Because, according to Dr. Crystal Park, professor of psychology at the University of Connecticut, she said in an interview with the Washington Examiner, quote, "I think a second wave would be devastating for a lot of people. We would be feeling like we are re-traumatized and likely more distressed and hopeless than the first time around." So she's talking about it from the standpoint of psychology. She says, one of the reasons the coronavirus is taking such a hit on people's mental health is that they do not have a clear idea of when the emergency will end. That's precisely where we are today. And here in New York, things are getting better, but things are getting worse in places like Texas and Arizona and the Carolinas and parts of California. And so what the heck is going on? Why is it that things seem to be getting better where I am, where, you know, I was ground zero of the pandemic early in March when we saw more and more cases and they were pulling up freezer trailers in front of hospitals. The hospitals were overwhelmed and, you know, it wasn't uncommon to see 1,000 deaths a day in New York City. And now it's down to maybe 10 deaths. The other day it was 14 deaths. And so what in the heck is going on? Why are there all these new cases in other parts of the country when the cases seem to be dwindling in New York? And I think it has to do with a matter of timing. Is New York got slammed before we even knew it? We had lots and lots of cases. And that's because of the way that the virus is transmitted. There are a lot of people who are asymptomatic. They don't feel anything, and they can transmit it. In fact, I have an amazing study in front of me. It's a preprint. It just came out. A study done in Italy, and some incredible statistics here. It says that 74% of all infected individuals aged less than 60 did not develop symptoms. And if you look at the age group 20 to 29, pretty much the age group that is unmasking in a lot of parts of the country, particularly in the West, where they thought that, you know, they dodged a bullet. You know, they said, it's over. Coronavirus is, you know, it's getting better in New York. They're looking at the news reports and they're saying, let's open up. And these folks have been suffering from major, major cabin fever. And they're getting out. They're young. They're invulnerable. They're going to bars. They're hanging out. They're going, you know, partying. Many of them are graduating from high school or college. And they're saying, the heck with this. I'm done. You know, let's get out there and start living again. Well, incredibly, among people 20 to 39, an even broader swath of the population, 80% of people who test positive for coronavirus don't even know they have it. They're asymptomatic. So they have the potential to transmit it. That's what's particularly insidious about this. Now, there's a little bit of a distortion that's going on as we're seeing tremendous numbers of new cases. And why are we seeing tremendous numbers of new cases? We're doing a heck of a lot more testing. But what we really want to keep an eye on is hospitalizations and deaths. And I'm not going to minimize it. There are lots of hospitalizations in some of these states where outbreaks are happening, but nowhere near what we had in New York a couple of months ago. And so it's bad, but the other piece of relatively good news is the people who are getting sick are generally younger. The older people are taking care of themselves or, you know, staying away. They're wearing masks. The ones in the nursing homes are experiencing better protection because of the tragedies that occurred in nursing homes in the Northeast. Tens and tens and thousands of deaths, up to half of the population of people who died were in nursing homes. And now we're realizing that it's necessary to undertake extraordinary precautions for these highly vulnerable individuals who are older but also have comorbidities. They're sick as well. And they're sitting ducks for the virus. And they, on the other hand, are more likely to get very sick and die. According to the self-same Italian study, 6.6% of infected subjects older than 60 had critical disease, with males at significantly higher risk. So there is a real bifurcation. This is not to say that there aren't some 20-somethings who are very sick in hospitals in Houston and in Dallas and in Phoenix. There are some of those individuals. It'd be interesting to see, you know, do they have underlying health factors, say obesity or diabetes or alcoholism or smoking, that makes them more likely to get very sick when they are hit with the coronavirus. But 80% of these young people, they don't even know they have it. They are asymptomatic. So, it's a scary time. And, you know, in a way, it is good in a way. I mean, let's look at the silver lining of the cloud. It's good in a way that we're becoming aware that this isn't over, that we still need to exercise precautions. And we hope that it doesn't come at the cost of much suffering for some of those people out west and in the south who are now experiencing illness. It ain't over. It ain't over. And we're still having to cope with it. We'll talk more about measures to help keep you protected. If you want to weigh in with questions or comments, 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine. We welcome you, your participation in today's show. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Biomega Fish Oil from Biotics Research. For over 40 years, Biotics Research has been providing the highest quality supplements surpassing industry standards. Biomega Fish Oil contains therapeutic doses of vital omega-3s in the triglyceride form, which is highly bioavailable. Biotics Research ensures maximum purity and freshness by managing their fish oils from catch to capsule. For more information, go to drhoffman.com/bioticsresearch. That's drhoffman.com/bioticsresearch for Biomega Fish Oil. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for a suite of professional-grade products from Protocol for Life Balance, which helps support optimal cardiovascular health. Ubiquinol, natokinase, and MK7K2. They play a central role in cellular energy production and maintaining proper blood flow and arterial elasticity. They're only available from healthcare practitioners, but they're available to you at drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance. That's drhoffman.com/protocolforlifebalance for more information and to order.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here, 877-726-8255, our number. And exercise opportunities have really dwindled down during the COVID-19 pandemic. And in fact, I went to get some weights at the local gym supply store. And, places just full of all kinds of exercise equipment. You can always get whatever you want. You can get kettlebells. You can get dumbbells. You can get barbells. You can get everything there. It's always plenty of stock available. And I went there, and they had nothing available. Everything was completely sold out because people can't get to their gyms and they're working out at home. And fortunately, it's getting warm enough, so I'm able to work out outdoors. I'm starting to cycle again, and I've been running even in the cold weather. Now that it's warmer, running is an option. And swimming is an option. I took a nice half-hour swim in the bay this morning, and it was a great workout. But according to this article, COVID-19 stay-at-home orders negatively impacted patients with obesity. And this is going to be a big problem because we are going to see a long-term legacy of the coronavirus lockdown because anxiety, depression, and stress eating have increased during our self-isolation. So they asked the question in the study, did the stay-at-home orders affect the physical, mental, and financial health of people with obesity? The very same people who are very high risk of getting sick with conditions that, frankly, kill 100 times or maybe a magnitude of several hundred times more people than the coronavirus pandemic will dispatch, even though that's top of our concern, you know, heart attacks and strokes and diabetic complications and cancers related to obesity are the major way that people ship out. So in this study, they found that patients with marked obesity reported more anxiety and depression, as well as less exercise and more stress eating due to stay-at-home orders. Duh, right? That's a no-brainer. But what they found is that since the start of the stay-at-home orders, 73% reported increased anxiety, 84% reported increased depression, and here's an interesting differential because, you know, they talk about the disproportionate impact of the pandemic on people of color. And at least in this case, there's kind of a reverse conclusion. A significantly higher proportion of non-Hispanic white patients, okay, so, right, Caucasians, reported increased anxiety compared with other racial and ethnic groups. Interesting. Hispanic patients were less likely to report anxiety than non-Hispanic whites, which suggests, I don't know, maybe some more resilience in the face of hardship. You know, maybe it's the snowflake phenomenon. You know, you used to really, you know, being able to have everything at your fingertips, and now, you know, life's opportunities are curtailed, and it's going to send you into a tailspin if you're affluent and privileged. They say those with obesity already have a 25% higher risk of developing mood and anxiety disorders. Okay. That's a big problem. So almost 70% of participants reported having more difficulty in achieving their weight loss goals since the order. You know, we call that the COVID-15, you know, the 15 pounds that you gained during the pandemic. And I've seen, you know, we're starting to see some of our friends and acquaintances again, and some of them are fine. You know, they've been able to work and eat well through this and exercise, but some of them have really turned into the Pillsbury Doughboy. You know, they put on weight, they're flabby. 48% had less exercise time, 56% had less intensity in exercise. Well over half reported cooking more often. Okay, well, that's great, but except you look at all the rest, all those videos on the internet, and you're going to see, you know, people making fudge brownies and very, very extravagant desserts. 61% reported more stress eating. So there you have it. You know, it's having a negative impact on people who are at the highest risk. People with diabetes, hypertension, and obesity-related comorbidities will create a huge backlog of needs that will come back to haunt us, says this study. All right. Yeah. So it's not the virus itself. It's the legacy of the virus that's going to create a lot of health problems for millions and millions of Americans. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
It's not always easy for women to achieve better health, especially these days. The key is to work smarter, not harder. Be wise about weight loss and workouts, eat strategically, and take your supplements. I'm best-selling nutrition author Kat James. I've learned firsthand that probiotics are key to women's health. They protect your digestion, your immune system, your skin. They support balanced hormonal levels. And very important for both women and men, they counter the buildup of bad bacteria and yeast in our bodies. Researchers have even found that probiotics promote a more positive mood and mental sharpness due to the gut-brain axis. The one I take? Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. It's a superior formula with prebiotics, probiotics, and postbiotics, a smart advantage in these challenging times. Find Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics through Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other natural health retailers, also available online.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And here's an announcement. This July 4th weekend, that is this upcoming weekend, stock up on your favorite supplements during the Independence Day sale. that I'm running on my online full script supplement dispensary page, July 3rd through 5th, get 10% off and free shipping on my entire inventory of top supplements at drhoffmanstore.com. Don't miss it. That's next week, the weekend of Independence Day, July 3rd through 5th. 877-726-8255 is our number. And in a moment, we're going to talk about an amazing article in the Journal of the American College of Cardiology that basically recants the whole saturated fat is bad for you hypothesis. That's in the American Journal of Cardiology, mind you. That's the primary journal for heart doctors. But first, let's take one of those recorded calls. Let's hear it.
Hi. I would like your opinion about a vascular doctor telling me for varicose veins in the front of my leg. He did a sonogram and said that I have venous insufficiencies. He is recommending I get a laser ablation. He did the sonogram because I actually hit them and one swelled up, and that's how I wound up at the vascular doctor's office. So I'm not so keen on doing that. My legs have never bothered me. So I just wanted your opinion if you think this is necessary. Thanks for your help, and thank you for all that you do.
Okay. Well, you know, it's an interesting question because, you know, as people age, the circulation to your legs decreases. And there's, you know, there's two types of circulation. One is the arterial circulation. And when that happens, it's very bad. It's claudication. It can cause pain on walking. It can cause problems with circulation to your toes and even can cause, you know, loss of limbs. I mean, this often occurs in diabetics. It occurs pretty often in smokers. In people who have heart disease, often correspondingly have arterial problems. Then there's the other type of circulation, which is the blood coming back. That's the venous circulation. And that, inevitably declines as you age because, the veins age. And the valves that keep the blood from flowing back against gravity tend to be incompetent. You know, that's the word, you know, it's venous incompetency or venous insufficiency, which means that they just allow the blood to go back down, and, you know, with gravity to your ankles and your feet, and then your feet swell up. And that's just an inevitable process of aging to some extent. It's hard for me to put myself into the position of this vascular surgeon. Vascular surgeon's diagnosing you having venous insufficiency. Okay, that's no big whoop. I mean, show me anybody over the age of 65, and they likely have some degree of venous insufficiency. Is it critical enough to merit the surgery, number one? And number two, will the surgery mitigate some kind of problem that could happen later, such as a blood clot? Blood clots can be painful. They can also lead to ulceration. And this is a big problem as people age. You know, people get ulcers on their, ankles and on their, shins. And, you know, that's due to sometimes trauma, but sometimes it's due to, just very poor circulation. And those ulcers can sometimes be very hard to heal because the circulation is poor. And, you know, this is really one of the challenges of vascular surgeons, to try and prevent that. And then once it happens, to try and treat it, to try and get those ulcers to heal, with poor circulation being a problem. So, you know, what is the laser going to do anything? A laser, to my mind, is more about cosmetic results. You know, you zap these ugly-looking spider veins. Will it make a difference in terms of your functionality? Will it reduce swelling? Will it prevent you from getting a blood clot? The type of venous insufficiency is really dangerous. It's not going to be treated with a laser. That's like deep inside. You can have something called a deep vein thrombosis or a blood clot in your calf. And that can be very dangerous because that's, you know, big vein. and a big clot can then be propagated upwards, go into your lungs, and that's a pulmonary embolus that can be life-threatening. So the answer is, I don't know. I'm not entirely sure that that is merited. I'd have to know a little bit more about his findings. You know, if you were a patient, I'd maybe pick up the phone and have that conversation with the guy. And sometimes they can talk me into it. They can say, look, you know, some things you don't know about this case make it more urgent that we do this procedure. And sometimes I kind of go, yeah, you know, you're sort of selling this patient a bill of goods. You know, it's an elective procedure. You think you're going to do the patient some good, but it's not really worth the effort and expense. And there even could be some downsides to the procedure. Yeah, not likely, because it's a pretty benign procedure. But is it worthwhile to undertake? You know, well, you might ask. Natural things that help. You can use collinsonia. You can use pycnogenol, which is helpful for that. These are some of the herbs that have bioflavonoid effects that prevent swelling. Collinsonia frequently used in hemorrhoids, either taken orally or for topical application. And a hemorrhoid is nothing other than a big vein, you know, vein that's distended and inflamed. And so, you know, there's some plausibility to these kinds of approaches for dealing with venous insufficiency. Okay, if you're suffering from chronic pain, well, you might be tempted to take risky over-the-counter prescription anti-inflammatory drugs. But here's a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals. It's liquid turmeric liposome complex. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. It's a plant-based curcumin that's used to possibly reduce inflammation, blocks proteins that trigger swelling, and intercepts inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216. Or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M. Myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural science-based remedy that works without adverse side effects. Get free shipping on all of your orders at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Okay, this item, it appeared in none other than the Journal of the American College of Cardiology, which is the foremost journal that heart doctors read. And it's amazing because for so long, the American Heart Association and the whole cardiology establishment has been recommending that people reduce their intake of cholesterol. Well, actually, a couple of years ago, they said, you know, dietary cholesterol doesn't matter that much. Wow, that's a turnaround. But this is, okay, don't worry about the, you know, dietary cholesterol. But saturated fatty acids, they're the bad guys. So instead of butter, use margarine. Stay away from coconut oil, things like cheese that are high fat. Go for low-fat varieties. Drink skim milk or low-fat milk. Concentrated fat is the artery-clogging kind of fat. That was the dogma that, according to this new position paper, is now rescinded. They say the recommendation to limit dietary saturated fatty acids has persisted despite mounting evidence to the contrary. Although saturated fatty acids increase low-density lipoprotein cholesterol, it's true that, you know, you take in a lot of saturated fatty acids, your LDL might go up. But in most individuals, this is not due to increasing levels of small, dense LDL particles, but rather the larger, more benign, fluffy LDL particles, which are much less strongly related to cardiovascular disease risk. You see, they're taking a more nuanced approach, saying the LDL's going up, but so what? It's the benign particles, not the bad, small, dense LDL particles. They say it's also apparent that the health effects of foods cannot be predicted by their content of any nutrient group without considering the overall macronutrient distribution. In other words, they're saying, you know, don't separate out one ingredient from food. Food is food. Consider food, not components of food, when making dietary recommendations. They say whole fat dairy, unprocessed meat, and I like that, unprocessed meat, eggs, and dark chocolate are saturated fat, fatty acid rich foods, but they come in a complex matrix that are not associated with increased risk of cardiovascular disease. The totality of available evidence does not support further limiting the intake of such foods. So, whole fat dairy, unprocessed meat, eggs, oh, perish the thought, eggs, full of cholesterol and saturated fat. They say the evidence does not support further limiting the intake of such foods. The paper also notes, these historical facts demonstrate that saturated fats were an abundant key part of the ancient human diet, and I like that too, because that's the paleo perspective. If we study ancient humans, by and large, they weren't vegans or vegetarians. They didn't eat like tree monkeys. Part of the advance towards being human was the ability to hunt, obtain protein from animals, and that is now the position of the Journal of the American College of Cardiology. So, whoa. That, you know, all this news is being kind of swamped by our focus on COVID-19. But, you know, some people have posted on Twitter and on social media that the position of the American Heart Association and the Dietary Guidelines of America, which call for limiting saturated fat, have killed far more Americans than COVID-19. I know it's kind of a rhetorical position. But there's a point to that, is that government recommendations by esteemed academies and by professional associations like the American Heart Association may have steered Americans in absolutely the wrong direction, causing more and more Americans to become obese, diabetic, and succumb to degenerative diseases than the whole totality of the COVID-19 pandemic. 877-726-8255 is our number for Intelligent Medicine.
Do you suffer with chronic pain? Are you taking risky over-the-counter or prescription anti-inflammatory drugs? Living with pain can cause depression, overeating, anxiety, loss of sleep, and low quality of life. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals. Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposome technology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. It contains powerful antioxidant properties and plant-based curcumin used to possibly reduce inflammation and block proteins that trigger swelling and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216. That's 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com. That's future, P-H-A-R-M. MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works without adverse side effects. Get free shipping on all of your orders at MyFutureFarm.com/Hoffman. This July 4th weekend, stock up on your favorite supplements during the Independence Day sale at my online full-script supplement dispensary. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. July 3rd through 5th, get 10% off and free shipping on my entire inventory of top supplements at drhoffmanstore.com. We stock only the highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients and take myself. It's the safest and most convenient way to purchase my curated supplements. Buying through FullScript offers fast shipping, refill reminders via text or email. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA compliant. Authentic, prescription-only supplements, and world-class support. Just go to drhoffmanstore.com for 10% off and free shipping from July 3rd through 5th. That's drhoffmanstore.com. drhoffmanstore.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman here. 877-726-8255 is our number, and if you can't get through today, you can always record a question, as did this individual. Let's hear it.
Hi, Dr. Hoffman. I heard Dr. Luc Montagnier on French television. He stated that he examined the COVID-19 virus, and he made the determination that it must have been manipulated in a bioweapon lab. She said it contains HIV and that is not natural for the genome RNA virus. What's your take that it contains HIV? Thank you. Please let me know your opinion on this, and thank you.
Okay, you know, that's interesting because Dr. Luc Montagnier is a very, very highly regarded scientist and, in fact, won a Nobel Prize for his co-discovery of the HIV retrovirus. And that happened in the early 80s. They isolated some lymph tissue from people suffering from this mysterious disease in France. And through some amazing breakthrough laboratory techniques, remember this is 1983, so what's like 40 years ago almost, they actually managed to identify the HIV virus and then even sequence it, you know, actually come up with the sequence of the RNA within the virus. So his report parallels some early reports that said that there is a similarity between the coronavirus RNA sequence and the HIV virus. And from what I'm able to ascertain, it was interesting at first. It was like, oh, you know, well, we don't really know how this came. You know, it came from a wet market. Oh, interesting. There's a bioweapons lab, you know, a few hundred yards away. And, you know, could it be that there was an accident or could it be that there was maybe even a deliberate release? You know, a lot of conspiracy theories have flown around. And a lot of virologists have looked at this and, you know, conspiracy theories are kind of hard to quash because you're going to say, well, you know, the they want to put the kibosh on that because, you know, this is some sort of, you know, world conspiracy to propagate this virus in order to gin up the potential for a vaccine, right? You know, what's a boon to the pharmaceutical industry? It's a way that we can exercise population control, you know, get everybody to assent to getting a vaccine, blah, blah, blah. You know, and it kind of makes a nice plot line, but when rigorously examined, these claims have fallen apart. Now, you might say, well, look, Luc Montagnier, he's a Nobel Prize winning virologist. I mean, this is the guy who discovered the HIV virus. He should know. This is a voice you need to listen to. But he has done some pretty controversial things, among which, and he's been criticized for this, is he came up in the 1990s with a way of measuring the energy of fluids in which substances had been dissolved that was not conforming to normal laws of chemistry and physics, i.e., it sounded kind of like homeopathy, you know, like there's nothing there, there's no molecules present, but the vibrations of the substance that was in the water create sort of a signature for the substance. That's kind of like the way that homeopathy is explained. And a lot of people seized upon that and said, oh my goodness, one of the Nobel Prize winning scientists, Luc Montagnier, the discoverer of the HIV virus, prestigious guy, has now validated homeopathy. He's a brilliant guy. But other people have said that, and this happens sometimes, is sometimes people very, very brilliant in one area of accomplishment can be a little bit eccentric in their views, and sometimes later in their career, their work sort of veers off into slightly controversial and even slightly weird directions. And that appears to be the case, I think, with Luc Montagnier. His reputation has suffered, you know, as a result of some of these very, very aggressive claims. And, you know, I think that we can be pretty much assured that what we're seeing is not man-made, but it's something that nature has dealt us. I mean, it's happened thousands and thousands of times before as humankind has been confronted with scourges that have been generated by natural selection, by viruses mutating in ways that make them more able to infect humans. And as humans get in contact with nature more and more, you know, we're pressing out against jungle habitats and so on. More and more of these viruses may get introduced into the human population. We're going to have to deal with it. You know, it's like Zika and SARS and Ebola and all these things. They come from nature and not, they don't necessarily have to be man-made. So I'm not for it. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We'll be right back with more of today's Intelligent Medicine.